Scott Sloan Show. This is News Radio 700 WLW. I don't know if you saw this story. This is probably, if you're a parent, it does concern you to go, aha, validity. My feelings and beliefs have been validated here. And that is this, that there's a couple major shareholders with Apple who are going after the company. I don't say going after, but going after Apple in a sense and saying, listen, we believe that there's a real likelihood of addiction with your products. It's almost like a big tobacco type of situation in that Apple and other smartphone manufacturers are making products that are so enticing and so sexy that kids and some young adults, and maybe even some older adults too for that matter, spend most of the day with their nose in a phone. And the question is the issue of cell phone and digital addiction. And one of the many topics she'll be talking about in just 2 days here is Lee Waters. She's a psychologist, a speaker, a researcher. She's in town to speak at the Beach Acres on what she's an expert in. That's raising strong children. Lee, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's start with that and the iPhone issue, which is, you know, to me, I look at it as a parent and go, okay, if you look back in history, everything new is feared, right? When comic books came along, there were said, yeah, that's going to lead to reading disorders. And how TV, because you're sitting around watching TV in the 1950s, it's going to destroy family life. And how video games are going to raise more violent kids. And now we have cell phone. Is it an issue of just technology being feared, or is there something real going on here?
I think it's a blend of both. It's a great perspective that you bring that, you know, with every generation we've had that sort of big fear among our parents. Initially it was rock music, then it was comics, then it was TV, then it was video games. So in some ways that's a useful perspective for us to have as parents. I'm a parent too of a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old. But there does seem to be research to indicate that that the new developments in technology are more addictive than, you know, TV, video games, radio, that they are being built in a way that triggers addictive centers of the brain. Mm-hmm. And if you think about our teenagers and our children, this is the times where, from a neuropsychology perspective, their brains are the most plastic. These are the times when their brains are the most open to being wired in certain directions. And so anything that has a sort of addictive tendency at a young age is something of concern. Having said that, I like your perspective of saying, well, we've heard this about rock music, we've heard this about comics, we've heard this about TV, we've heard this about video games. And so it is the same old issue for all of us as parents is, you know, how do we teach our kids to self-regulate, whatever the technology mm-hmm. form is, how do we teach them to self-regulate? How do we teach them to have self-awareness about what might be an addictive tendency? And how do we encourage them to moderate their behavior? They're age-old challenges.
Yeah, it's about moderation. You get something new, video games, you'd sit and, you know, when I was a kid, play Atari 2600, the old 16-bit stuff, for hours and hours and hours at a time, and I'm going to have my brain rotted, and if you sit too close to the TV, it'll cause you to go blind. And, you know, it's the same challenges parents have always had. Is something new and cool comes along, we don't fully understand it, therefore it must be the worst thing in the history of man.
I don't think it serves us well if we panic as parents, because then we're not being self-regulated and we're not being moderate and we're not having mm-hmm. perspective, which are all the things we're trying to teach our kids to use with this new technology. I certainly remember being told, don't sit too close to the TV. I remember my first Atari. I remember being devastated because I wasn't allowed to watch Dynasty, and everyone else in school was allowed to watch Dynasty, and I couldn't keep up with the show. And so they are just age-old challenges. But I do think we do need to be wary with the smartphones and the new technology, because they do seem to be the research is indicating that they have more of an addictive power.
Well, not only that, it tends to be your whole social world. You know, back in the Atari days, we'd probably go to the mall or whatever and socialize face to face. And now you can do it digitally. You can do it in this altered state and altered reality, which I don't think is inherently bad. There's a lot of positives with that as well. It makes the world smaller, which is always a good thing. But the downside, of course, is the lack of face to face human interaction, I think, is a concern when it comes, because we are social creatures. And then you do that because now you're putting it in this sort of vacuum where everyone's opinion is amplified to 11. And it gets back to your issue on raising strong children in a digital age with the pressures of social media. You know, we hear about kids bullying and so on and so forth, and how they're being teased incessantly 24/7, not only in person at school, but also in the digital realm as well. How do you raise strong children in face of all that?
Look, I think the key thing with all of that is raising our children so that they have self-awareness. And so they have self-awareness, so they're able to step out and say, this is a virtual world, this is not real, I can step out, I can take myself away from Snapchat if the conversation is not a good conversation. Mm. I can stick up and, you know, fight against cyber bullies. So it all comes back to this idea of social awareness. And for me, the work that I do is around strength-based parenting. And that's really an approach to parenting where we parent our children in a way where we help them to maximize and make the most of the qualities, the assets, the strengths that they already have before we work on compensating for what they lack. So it's about building up their natural strengths before we fix their weaknesses. And what this does is that it allows a child to have that self-awareness of what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses and how can I use my strengths to better navigate complex situations like the social media, like the social bullying. Mm-hmm. And how can I use my strengths to better self-regulate and think, okay, I've been on PS4 enough today, I need to turn off and go and do something else.
That's the hard part, right, is finding those strengths. It's easy to pick out the weaknesses, but the strengths are the hard part, are they?
You are so spot on in saying that, actually. And
well, because I'm actually a 14-year-old kid.
Well, what you pick up on, so the psychologists call this the negativity bias, and it's a human universal phenomenon whereby our brains are wired to notice the bad things, the negative things in our environment much more quickly than the positive things in our environment. The reason being that that gave us an evolutionary advantage. You know, initially out on the savannah, it was the brain that could quickly spot and detect what was going wrong that survived. And we still have that sort of survival feature built into our brain. But what that means as a parent is we're kind of working against our brains to be able to help our kids spot their strengths, because our first inclination as a parent is to identify what's wrong with our child.
Yeah, right. We want our kid to be normal. That's yeah, right. I want my kid to be like everybody else, miserable.
And it is a little bit that way, where we think that fixing weakness is what creates, that's our job as a parent. And what I would say is let's do the opposite. Let's identify the strengths and build up the strengths. Let's counteract the negativity bias because, you know, often when we, well, let me ask you a question. When you hear the expression areas for improvement, what comes to your mind?
I'm probably going to get detention. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Right away the flag goes up, areas of improvement. Like, crap, I got to do more homework.
Yeah. And, you know, even as adults, if I hear areas of improvement in my work,
you get fired.
There's something I need to fix. And that's our natural inclination, is that we think improvement is a process of fixing what is wrong with us. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm arguing is that actually we can equally improve our strengths as we can our weaknesses. We naturally think, well, we have to improve our weaknesses, but the research is showing that our greatest areas for improvement, our greatest return on investment, is if we seek to improve and build up our strengths before we focus on our weakness.
That's a really, really good point because, you know, at the end of the day, socially, we're all about conformity. Whether we want to admit it or not, we want our kids to, you know, quote unquote, be normal, even though normal is a relative term. And quite honestly, I don't think anyone's normal for that matter. She'll be speaking about this and so much more, Raising Strong Children. Lee Waters is in town. She's at the Beach Acres Parenting Center. There's three in the Cincinnati area, of course. They have 165 years of working with families and kids. 231-6630 is their number, or Beach, that's BEECH, acres.org on the web. Thanks again, Lee. Appreciate the time. Welcome to Cincinnati.
Great. Thanks to be here.
All right, we're going to break in news in about 15 on 700 WLW. That's the thing, you know, this...